Ramsey TV.
Hello to everyone out there in MZ TV land. As you can tell, MZ is joined by a special guest, namely RP.
RP.
MZ is joined by RP. This is Rodney Paris. He is from Texas. And I started communicating with you, or you started communicating with me, I should say, probably about 5 years ago, six?
Something like that. It's been a while.
5 or 6 years ago. And as you know, I have an open invitation that anyone wants to come visit me, and people keep taking me up on it. but I like that, because it gets lonely here. I get so sad. I need to talk to you. It's just terrible here.
Come see Martin.
Yeah, nah, this is awful. But no, it's great to have guests. And he's here with his two sons, who are wonderful.
Good guys.
Kids, yeah. What's the name of your sons?
My oldest, well, they're twins, but the one who came out about 30 seconds earlier, his name is Theophilus. Theo. That's the name we go by. Mm-hmm. And this younger one goes by Leviticus. Well, he goes by Levi. That's
Levi.
His name. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you just should have called him
Theo.
Called him Jacob and Esau.
Well, sometimes they go by Fevi. Sometimes they go by Leo. Just we throw those in there.
Gotcha. Our audience, people tell me that some of their favorite shows are the ones where I have a special guest, somebody visits, because people love to see other members of the body of Christ because they're so alone. And you actually have a file.
Yes.
You've made it. Tell them about what kind of file you have. And then I'm just going to quiz you about, I'm going to ask you pointed questions about your walk.
Okay. So I've got a little YouTube video, a YouTube channel, and I've got a set of videos that I found from Martin over the years where he's highlighted, well, like this video, where he's visited with people, whether it's at a conference or in a house, and just members of the body of Christ who've come to visit. So I've stuffed everyone I could find in there. I don't have them all. I know there's some more out there somewhere. But that's fun. I will tell you what that link is if I think I will figure it out.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad you said that. We're going to have a link under here of all the videos I've made where you can see your fellow members of the body of Christ. That'll be good. So, Rodney.
Yes.
Rodney. Like the rest of us, were you raised in a mainstream church? And what was it called?
Well, I started out, my dad, I started out as a little Baptist kid.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I got to college, I did the whole college thing, Navigators, and a lot of stuff that was crazy. After college, I became a member of the Worldwide Church of God, which, like so many other people in the body, they've got their teeth cut there. So,
yeah, how did you get into the Worldwide Church of God? Were you snagged by those people that come to your door? Or?
No. Well, that's the JWs or something.
Oh, yeah,
else.
That's the JWs.
No, what we did, I say we, because I was in it. Yeah. We used to go out and take these little card packets,
mm-hmm.
and you'd stick them on bulletin boards in laundry rooms and places like that. Well, I was on campus at A&M. I worked down in a college
Texas
station,
A&M.
Texas A&M.
Okay.
And I was on campus, and I walked by, and I picked up a card, and it offered a free magazine and a subscription and all this information. I'd actually also been watching that television program called The World Tomorrow. I've been watching that separately. Didn't even know it. I get the magazine, didn't know they were connected, and then there I was. I called up, and they sent ministers to your house to check to make sure you believe the right things.
You would have been better off subscribing to Playboy magazine.
Well,
am I wrong?
This one was free. This was free.
Oh, that's right. Okay, it was free. So, that's how they got you.
If it's free, then it's expensive in other ways.
But yes,
I was actually if I say it this way, I had fairly laid back pastors. I guess they're pastors, not ministers. So we wouldn't have it was a legalist faith, but it wasn't a legalist congregation. It was really, I had a lot of really good friends then. Then the place blew up back in the, late 80s, early 90s? Somewhere in the 90s, the Worldwide Church of God blew up.
Oh, there were scandals at the top, right?
Well, there were scandals, but that wasn't it. One of the things that took the church out was that they actually came to understand that what we had as a set of doctrines. Now, I've got friends who are still members of the of the offshoots of the church. So they still hold to that. But there's like a third to a half of the people went with it when they discovered grace. Now, it was a different, it was almost like moving the church from, and I'm not doing this right, I'm not describing it right, but it went from going, I felt like we were the first entry Christians who were legalists who discovered Christ. So we stopped following the law, we started realizing Christ really did do what he did.
But we're going to make sure we don't really believe it.
It was weird. They actually went...
That is weird.
I'll just say, I got out of that. Lost a lot of contact with a lot of people I really love.
But what was it that blew it up for you personally? What was the final straw that you couldn't take anymore and you left the church?
Well, it was when I realized, when I had the understanding that, okay, so which laws? Should I be sacrificing lambs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or should I, you know, well, we're keeping the Sabbath, we're paying tithes, should I be sacrificing lambs? Should right. I be traveling to Jerusalem? Where do I do sacrifices? There was that question came up. I mean, we kept the holy days.
Well, yeah, you did keep the feast and everything.
We kept the feast and, you know.
But you didn't sacrifice lambs. You didn't quite do the whole law.
It's
like you were playing at the law.
You cooked those lambs up. They were good.
Oh, you did? You did cook lambs up.
I mean, but that's just for dinner. We had things.
I hear that they eat sheep heads in South Africa.
No,
I wonder if that's.
Don't do it.
I wonder if that has anything to do with the law.
Don't do it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's almost like you're playing at being an Israelite.
Right. And it was which laws? It was the question of. If we're going to follow the law, are we going to follow the law, really?
Yeah.
But it turned out it was just, we'll do the ones that we can conveniently do. So
yeah.
We don't have a temple, so we won't do the temple
sacrifice. And every year we're going to go to an exotic place so we
that
can kind of
nice.
Make it into like a vacation sort
that
of kind of.
Nice.
Then that happened in the Worldwide
and
Church
that,
of God.
That was what happened in the Worldwide Church of God. We had, it was a neat thing. I mean, I literally have a lot of very dear friends that I met in that time.
Right. Yeah, we're not talking bad about the people
oh, no.
here.
Well,
we're
mean,
talking
but,
bad about the system.
Oh, the system and the. As a matter of fact, I think there are two people I've know of, L. Ray Smith, who used to be part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was another pastor, or he's a member then, but he does some. I don't know if he's in UR, but he. Talked about the things that went on there. And there were lots of things when you got higher up. And I had some friends who told me about some things. It was a system. And it was rough.
Did you have, when you finally left, did you have something immediately to go to? Or did you consider yourself, I'm going to be untethered from organized religion for the rest
there.
Of my life?
I wasn't there. I had about 6 months of a hard time mourning, if I say it that way. And then I found a church I attended. I went Christian World.
Now, hang on. I want to pursue this
yeah.
mourning.
Mourning.
What were you mourning the loss of friends or mourning maybe you thought you were losing God or losing your faith? What
Not
were you
losing God. Not That was pretty solid. But yeah, I had lots of good friends. And also, there was an investment into that body. And one of the things about the Worldwide Church of God was... We believed. I remember a minister who said once, I won't use his name, but he did say, well, you are sitting here, and I and this other pastor here, we are the senior representatives of God Ooh. In this part of the earth.
And wow.
But the part that I understood was, if that had been true, that's who they were. But then when you come to understand, that's not true, because... They don't know what they're...
Well,
they didn't understand what they're
people
doing.
Say this, people say the same thing about Jesus Christ.
Right.
They say
right.
he's either what he says he is,
or
he's a false prophet.
Right.
Right. So these people either have to be what they say they are. Like, I'm in charge of this sector of earth. I'm
yeah.
God's representative with,
yeah.
in this 1,500 square mile. Oh, boy. That's pretty
arrogant. I said that because I remember the day he said that, and I remember sitting there going in awe. I was like, whoa.
That had to, you were actually in awe of that when you heard it.
It was... You know, you look back at it, and I was a youngster. I was 30. I was a youngster. But there was things I didn't understand.
How do you feel now that you're talking to the world's most outspoken Bible scholar?
I enjoy being here with you. And one of the fun things, I love the fact people say, well, you follow Martin Zinner. I was like, no, I just listen to him.
Yeah,
I follow
that's
God.
That's much better. That's
I follow
much better.
God. I listen to him. I follow God. There's some stuff I won't tell anybody. There's some stuff that you might be wrong on. I don't know.
What?
Because
never.
Well, no, I don't know what it is.
It could happen. It could happen.
But
no, I interrupted one of your a train of thought. So please continue with that thread, if you can remember what it was.
I have no idea what I was
what
saying.
What did I do? I totally
no, that's
really...
Okay.
These pastors who claim themselves to be, you know, like the vicar of
that was
Illinois.
It, that tied to the morning because I had invested... Well, okay, look, the Worldwide Church of God is a cult. This, I'll just say that. And the way we responded in that system was to a cultic leader. Now, I didn't idolize Mr. Armstrong was the church founder, and then
right.
Mr. Tkach followed that. I didn't have an idolization for them. They're neat guys. They had their issues. Everybody has issues. It's very sad to be up front when you have your issues and everybody can see them because then it's a scandal. But I never put them in that kind of position where I idolized
right.
them. But you still knew I was a member of the Worldwide Church of
yeah,
God.
Yeah, so you mourned belonging to that great
that thing,
system.
Right.
Okay.
After that,
makes sense.
And that was the mourning part. It's
right.
just, well, it's a part of identity. The whole thing with, what's her name? The five stages that people go through when they suffer a loss.
Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Kubler-Ross.
Five stages of
grief.
Grief, yeah.
Those five stages are the loss. And it's partly a loss. It's a loss of things that are yours. And even when it's a loss of your identity. And that was an important thing. Because to come through that, I realized I'm not who I am because of the church.
So you had this strong identity with a church that was quite powerful and
well-known. Well, it was really cool. It's big. It was,
big.
It had lots of money because you can take a tithe from everybody. You can buy a lot of stuff. And
you can
have
buy a lot of stuff, have some fancy cars, some nice airplanes, and a great headquarters in Pasadena, California.
Great auditorium. There's a list of stuff. But that identity, that loss was there. But when I realized, and it was a work to go through it, that it wasn't, my identity wasn't with the church. It was supposed to be with God, and if there was a structure or people around, like it's the body of Christ, being in the body of Christ, I'm not a member of the body of Christ, and that's important. I am God's, and I'm in the body of Christ. That's what makes the body of Christ important.
Well, yeah, let me ask you this. In the Worldwide Church, did you have a concept of being a member of the body of Christ? Was that term ever used in the Worldwide Church of God? And after that, I want to ask you about how you came to a realization that you are in this elect group called the Body of Christ.
We didn't use the Body of Christ.
I didn't think so.
We had we were headed toward the Kingdom of God. And I remember, you know, at the feast days, we'd sit around and, you know, to the Kingdom. That was, cool stuff.
And that Kingdom was on earth.
That Kingdom was on earth. But that's one of those things we understood. Kingdom was on earth. There was no hell the way it was. We were kind of an annihilist group. See, I can't even remember. I spent years working to get that stuff out of my head.
Yeah, here I am asking you about it.
Yeah, well, I'm not putting it back. I'm just going back.
No, you're not putting it back. So let's turn a page now and tell me how you developed to the point where you realize your membership in the body of Christ. And you've thrown out all those old doctrines, the Trinity, free will, eternal torment. That's a major shift. How did
that
come
big.
About?
Well, That was actually kind of fun. After the Church of God, Worldwide Church of God, I started attending church, looking for churches. That was interesting. I won't name any of the churches, but went to several different ones. I actually went to a church once that had a pastor who was a direct descendant of Jonathan Edwards.
Oh, that's not good.
He's a good preacher, but he did 3 years on the Book of Romans. And in that, he would preach, and he would preach, he'd be preaching, and he would be going through Romans and get right up to the point where he would say something that wasn't Christian. And he'd just twist it a little bit. It's like, you didn't go where that was going. You went someplace else.
Yeah,
and I kept feeling that, but nobody else was. I'm looking around, and everybody else is good with it.
You that bothered you.
It bothered me.
Yeah.
And he would say,
I like that.
Would almost think that Paul was saying this. Well, he was saying that, but then he would go the other direction.
He would go, he would go up right up to that,
to the
that
edge,
portal to the truth, and
then
couldn't
go back into being Christian.
Yeah. So many people tell me, well, come to my church, you know, we teach grace and this and that, and they hear the words grace, they hear the word salvation, they hear the word the phrase Jesus saves, and they think that that's what they believe. But of course, you and I both know they talk a good game, but they can't play it.
Yeah.
All right. So where'd your journey go?
Well, I was there. I had some people there that I talked to, and I was working through faith. And I mean, I say that so loosely, but that's trying to figure out what was going on, who God was, how this worked. Finally, I came across this. This is an interesting thing. My brother lived up in Oklahoma. He had a pastor. What's his name? Can't remember. It's in Tulsa. He actually blew up his church because Carlton Pearson. He blew up his church.
Yeah.
Because he learned something, and he understood that God was not going to burn people in hell.
Imagine that.
Forever.
Imagine that.
And his church just melted. My brother even said, I remember when that happened.
Yeah. Most people in our audience will know the name Carlton Pearson, the mainstream guy who went rogue.
Well, he went rogue. My brother was in that congregation. I got a tape from one of his convocations of the Azusa Fellowship or something. And I played that thing. This is back in the tape days before I played that thing over and over. Because I was listening. It's like, what is this? I know it's right, but it's not all the way right. But it had, he was very clear, and he was talking about the love of God, how he was faithful and merciful. But he's father. He's going to take care of his business. But he's not going to burn anybody in hell forever. Mm-hmm. That was beautiful because it fit who God should be. I mean, I'm not going to worship Hitler, but that's what it seemed like we were worshiping, someone who would kill 6 million Jews and then, let Hitler kill 6 million Jews and then start burning them right after because they were not Christians.
Yeah, it's Hitler couldn't even figure out how to burn people forever. Yeah. So the Christian God's definitely worse. So you got a hint there that God was greater than the God you knew in worldwide, but I know this, Carlton did not put all the pieces together.
Right, right. He went a different direction. Well, he went to that was it. It felt like he was worshiping that God's not going to burn people in hell.
People
and therefore everybody's good.
They break off before they get to God. I've seen people do that though. They just focus on the salvation of all, which is a great truth, and they make the gospel that.
Right.
And that becomes, the litmus test. Do you believe in the salvation of all? Almost like the Christian religion uses the Trinity.
Right, right.
Like you can't be saved unless you do this or that. So you outgrew Carlton Pearson.
Yeah, it was just, he was just like, I would say for a long stretch of time, he was the only person I could find that believed this. And then my brother actually found...
El Rey?
Not El Rey. Up in Oklahoma, Missouri.
Gary Emerald.
Gary Emerald.
Tip Maker.
He talked about him. I said, really? And I went to his side.
Okay,
and
then now you got a guy that's putting the pieces together.
And then I started finding connections.
Details, Emerald's got the details.
I found a random video on the internet that had, and this is after I found El Rey. I found a guy named Jonathan Lilly in Arizona. I found, who's our bud? Who's in prison?
James Flanders.
James, I found James. Cool guy, but I missed him. EB.
Yeah, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, I found a lot of people, and I would get little things from them, but eventually I found a little congregation in Louisiana, and I think the first time I heard your name, they were talking about you coming to speak there. But I made a connection back, and I found you. Found some other people who are preaching the truth, because when I say the truth, I'm hearing people that 99.99% of what they said didn't make me feel awkward. It's like, you're not talking right about God, because I was going on what I was feeling. That's not the way to do it, but except that's where I started, then I would confirm it in scriptures.
I think that's spiritual intuition.
Yeah, and so I knew, it's like, okay, these guys are right, this is good. And then it's like, now I can look at this, and like you've said, and other people have said, well, if I'm not preaching the truth, yell at me.
Yeah, but, for
sure. So I would look at it and say, this is consistent with the word of God.
Good.
It's not just you when you say it's when it's your opinion, you say this is my opinion, but you don't say that's the word of God. You'll throw something in, but
right.
That was I enjoyed that. I was there are people that I yell at on the radio or out here on YouTube. I yell at them while I'm watching their before I turn off their videos because they just start lying. It's like that's not true about God. And I always go back to this: if you're saying something about my God,
mm-hmm.
and you're slandering God, I'm not pleased with you. And that happens.
You should be angry.
That's it.
That should be a righteous indignation. Yeah, so, you have a righteous indignation toward
and
that.
It's like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. And so that's the part, because I can tell it's like, no, that's not right. Sometimes there's things that I don't like, but I can tell they're true. Like, I don't like the coming tribulation. That really bothers me a lot. But I know why it's coming. It makes sense.
People are trying to pray that it doesn't happen. Please, Jesus. We don't want the revelation. It's scripture. It's going to happen. So who's going to pray out of it? If we get enough people, maybe just get enough people.
Yeah.
You know, to pray out of it. So then you came into the whole Paul's gospel.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Tell us that briefly, how that came about.
Well, it was, part of it was the things that you were introducing me to. I'm trying to remember what it was. The first time I actually realized there was this distinction. I'll actually tell the story of mine by talking about a friend of mine named Cindy. I sent her First Idiot in Heaven.
The book.
And the funny part about it was, in the Worldwide Church of God, one of the parts of tension was trying to figure out what to do with the grace and the law.
They're
both in there.
Right.
They're both scriptural. And everyone tries to tie them together.
Yes.
But the thing that made it, and it was so such relief that you read this, and there it is. The solution is, they're the different people.
Oh, my God. That is so...
It was so cool.
That is so cool to have those two bins to put things in.
Right, right.
Without the two bins, you have to try to tie them together. And it's impossible. That's where people start doing...
They start lying and twisting one. Focus on one verse and ignore this one. Well, what about this? But it's like they're both there. They're both true.
That's Paul's a breakthrough.
Paul's not a heretic.
That's
He's
a breakthrough.
Talking to different people. I sent this book to my friend Cindy, and at the same time, her mom was reading Bullinger, and her father was reading A. Enoch, and they didn't know they were each doing it, and they all discovered it at the same time. It's like, and they're all from Worldwide Church of God. Lovely people. I love those folks.
Oh, that's...
But it was cool. It's like, yes, that's how it works. And they even said it. This puts the pieces together. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the piece.
The pieces are together. I think that's a high point to end here. This. I have enjoyed your visit.
Totally, totally fun to be here. Nice to meet you in person. So
your sons are a great testament to your... success as a father. These kids are great.
I'll take that because I keep denying it.
Your sons are fantastic. They were at the beach today. The beach is finally opened here 2 days ago.
So the
boys were jumping in the water. That was fun to see. And I've enjoyed fellowship with you. And we've visited with Manfred. And so I hope you come back.
I would like to. I will definitely... schedule more time. I will come by again. I mean, I was thinking about that earlier. It's like, come on back.
All right. Rodney Paris, a fellow believer, and thankful for him. I'm thankful for all of you out there. We can't see everyone, of course. I know you're out there. It's weird. I'm looking at this camera, and yet I've met many of you, and I know you're out there. Now you've met another member of the body of Christ.
Hey, folks.
Yeah, and I hope that brings you encouragement. Thanks.
We're not alone.
We're not alone.
No.
That's a good one. I wish I had thought of that.
Manfred's over there.
I wish I had thought of that.
I don't know if we're going to keep going with that more of this. Hey, Manfred.